We have a long Bible reading this morning. 69 verses, I think. No, 67. So, I hope you're sitting comfortably. It's the story of a bride for Isaac. It's a narrative. I'll read it reasonably quickly, but I didn't feel that we could leave any verses out. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my sons, from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day, and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I am by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink,' and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. The servant ran to meet her, and said, "Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher." She said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let down her pitcher, down her hand, and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also, until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel, and 2 bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" Then she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, We have both straw and seed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Bless be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister, Rebekah, saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now the master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.' And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass, when the virgins come out to draw water, and I say to her, "Please give a little water from your pitcher to drink." And she says to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also." Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." But before I had finished speaking, in my heart, there was Rebekah, coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels a drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, for he had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard these words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of thousands, of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahoroi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she said to her servant, "Who is this man So she said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We thank God for his word. I've given my talk this morning the title, Finding a Bride for Isaac. Chapter 24 of Genesis is a long chapter, but in the end I decided that I needed to read it all, not only because it's a beautiful account of the search for a wife of Isaac, but to leave out any of the verses that I felt detract from the storyline of chapter 24. As I prepared for this morning, I observed a number of lessons that we can learn from this story. But more than that, I came to the conclusion that each of those lessons illustrates a verse of scripture that has become a favourite quotation for Christians over the centuries. I hope you'll see what I mean. But let's begin with verse 1. There we're reminded that Abraham was now advanced in years and deeply conscious of the Lord's blessing on his long life. But did he stop there? No. He was mindful that God had promised him a large family that would inherit the land where he was, and that that family would be a blessing to all nations. And that promise would be fulfilled through Isaac. But Isaac was a 40-year-old bachelor. And if God's promise was to be fulfilled, he needed a wife. And so in this chapter, Abraham set about finding a wife for Isaac. To help him, he turned to his oldest and most trusted and unnamed servant. Abraham had, over the years, given this man more and more responsibility. Until, at this point, he ruled, literally, over all that Abraham had. Now, we might wonder why Isaac was not given more responsibility. And I hope just to touch on that later. But let us stay with this unnamed servant for the moment. For here, he is given the enormous additional responsibility of finding a wife for Isaac. And it was at this point in my preparation that one of those well-loved scriptures came to mind. The words of Jesus in Matthew 25 and verse 23, as Jesus talks about rewards in the kingdom of heaven. He uses these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." And here this servant, having been seen to be faithful in all that he had been given to do, is given an additional responsibility of finding a wife for Abraham's heir, Isaac. A wife who, like Sarah, would not only be a wife, but the mother of a nation. And I believe that there's a lesson for us to learn here. If we have come to that point in our lives, whereby the grace of God, we have come to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and as our Saviour and Lord, we have a privilege of serving. We are servants of God. And this man is an example to us. I noted that he was unnamed. We may not be in who's who. We may not feel that we are particularly important. But God has a work for us to do. I learned a song in Sunday school, perhaps you did too. "There's a work for Jesus none but you can do." Remember that. We are called to serve. In his service, he was trustworthy. As servants of the Lord, we too should be trustworthy. We should be trustworthy in every area of our lives. We should be a trusted child of God. We should be trustworthy in our homes. We should be trustworthy in our employment. We should be trustworthy in our church. And this man, having proved trustworthy, was given an even greater trust, finding a bride for Isaac. And if we are trustworthy, we too may be given greater responsibilities in this life. But the Lord may also, according to that verse in Matthew, give us greater responsibilities in the life to come. Then as the story moves on, we find that Abraham, using a ceremony common at the time, asked his servant to take a solemn oath before God to go to Abraham's homeland and take a bride for Isaac from there. That's verses 2 to 4. However, the servant, charged with such a special mission, wanted to be very clear about the parameters within which he must work. In particular, what should he do if the potential bride refused to return with him? His question in verse 5 indicates a serious reservation about taking Isaac to the land from which Abraham came. must I take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham's reply left him in no doubt. Beware that you do not take my son back there. In other words, don't take him back there under any circumstances. Now, we don't know why Abraham was so adamant that Isaac should not go back to that land. It may be that there was a trait in Isaac's character that made Abraham concerned. Or it may have been that Abraham was afraid that if he went to Nahor, he would never come back to the land of promise. Or maybe, as Joyce Baldwin suggests, travellers may have alerted Abraham to what a slippery customer Laban was. Whatever the reason, Abraham was insistent Isaac was not to go to Nahor. Then in verse 7 we have a wonderful expression of Abraham's confidence that God would go before his servant and guide him to a wife for Isaac. However, he wanted the servant to know that should the woman refuse to come, he would be released from his oath. And so the servant swore an oath to the Lord by the Lord of heaven and earth to fulfill Abraham's request. He would endeavor to fulfill this additional trust that Abraham had placed upon him. The next part of the story reminds me of another of those familiar verses of Scripture that we've come to know and love. And that's Proverbs 3 in verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Very clear in that story, wasn't it, that we read this morning? But do we share that confidence in God? It is really challenging in today's world to remember that as we acknowledge God, he will direct us in all our paths, especially when there is so much opposition and so many challenges to the gospel. As I reflected on that, my mind went to the poem, The Weaver. And it has this little four lines in it. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forgets he sees the upper, and I the underside. So when we go through tough times, it's still part of what God has for us. And so in verse 10, without delay, the servant set off on his 400-mile journey to Mesopotamia. He took with him 10 of his master's camels, loaded with all sorts of choice gifts from his master. His month-long journey was, it seems, uneventful. So uneventful that Moses only covers it in half a verse of Scripture. The journey was not important. What was important was what happened when the servant reached his destination. So having taken half a verse for the journey, he then takes 51 verses to cover just one evening and morning. And so in verse 11, the servant arrived in Nahor at the time when women went out to draw water and made his camels kneel beside the well. That's not politically correct today, is it? But it's here in Scripture, and it tells us a lot about the culture of that day. But what is particularly significant is that the servant had embraced the God of his master. And not only embraced the God of his master, but had a living relationship with him. And so, having arrived, he prays that wonderful prayer in verse 14. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. A lovely prayer. A prayer that tells us a lot. He prayed to the God of Abraham. And by praying in this way, I believe the servant was recognizing that the Lord had entered into a covenant with Abraham. And that what he was doing was not just finding a wife for Isaac, but fulfilling what God had said in his covenant. When we pray, are our minds governed by Scripture? Do the Scriptures guide us in our praying? As this man appears to be guided. But he also demonstrated a great love for Abraham. He prayed that the Lord would show kindness to Abraham by granting him success in his mission. Do we think of others when we pray? He asked for signs, but not for spectacular signs. The signs he asked for were carefully considered and reflected the type of person he was looking for as a wife for Isaac. He was looking for a young woman. He was looking for someone who was given to hospitality. He was looking for someone who was generous and practical and not afraid of hard work. And he would be able to observe all these things at the well just outside Nahor. And as the servant finished praying, Rebekah arrived. Then, in keeping with his prayer, he asked her for a drink, and she gave him a drink. Then she said, I'll draw water for your camels until they've finished drinking. That was a lot of water. Freddie Fritz, an American pastor quoting the Bible commentator R. Kent Hughes, says, a camel typically would drink about 25 gallons of water. And an ancient water jar held about 3 gallons. So this meant that Rachel made between 80 and 100 descents into the well to get water. It was going to take a long time, probably an hour and a half. And Abraham's servant watched in silence as Rebekah went about this work, wondering whether she was an answer to his prayers. And when she'd finished, he produced a gold nose ring and 2 gold bracelets and gave them to her. Then he asked whose daughter she was and whether there was a guest room where he and the others could stay. And she said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Abraham's servant was overwhelmed. This was the Lord's doing. And it was marvelous in his eyes. And he bowed his head and worshipped and said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth towards my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. How true Proverbs 3 is, isn't it? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. May that be true of us. The next few verses in the story demonstrate the typical hospitality of the area at the time. And eventually Abraham's servant and those with him were invited to the house of Bethuel with Laban. And Rebekah's brother Laban was doing most of the arranging. And in verse 33, a meal was set before them. However, Abraham's servant didn't allow the lavish hospitality to detract him from his mission. Before he would eat, he insisted on explaining his mission. And having been given permission to proceed, he explained how God had blessed Abraham, how his late wife Sarah had given birth to a son, Isaac. He explained about the oath that he had sworn before God to Abraham. He explained his prayer at the well and how Rebekah had arrived and behaved in a way that perfectly fitted with his prayer. And how when he discovered that Rebekah was from the same family line as Abraham, he was overwhelmed and he worshipped the Lord. And then he challenged them in verse 49. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. It was the king's business and it demanded haste. But how would they respond? Would Rebekah's family be willing to let her go with a stranger and marry an unknown man? Would Rebekah herself be willing to leave her family and marry someone she'd never met? How would they react? Abraham's servant didn't have to wait long. We're not told why Laban took the initiative at this stage. It may be that Rebekah's father Bethuel was elderly or infirmed, or that he preferred Laban to negotiate on his behalf. Whatever the reason, in verse 50 both Laban and Bethuel recognized that this was of the Lord, and they felt it was inappropriate to say anything. The servant's testimony glorified God and brought these men to silent admiration of his overruling. May God give us opportunities to give testimonies that glorify God and leave others standing in awe of him. And so Laban and Bethuel released Rebekah to go with Abraham's servant. Once again, Abraham's servant sets us an example in our priorities. Before he hands out more gifts to Rebekah and the gifts to Laban and Rebekah's mother, he bows down before the Lord and recognized that this was the Lord's doing and worshipped. And as I reflected that section of the story, another quotation from Scripture came to mind. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Here was a man who was determined to put God first. Is that our guiding principle, day by day? As the story moves forward, there's just one more hurdle for Abraham's servant to overcome. The next morning, he wanted to set off back home to Abraham and Isaac. However, her brother and mother asked that she might stay a few more days, at least 10, before she went. And humanly speaking, we can quite understand that, can't we? Here was a mother who was going to say goodbye to her daughter and probably never see her again. So, did 10 days seem unreasonable? Humanly speaking, probably not. But Abraham's servant, conscious of his God-blessed mission, did not want to delay. And so it was decided to let Rebekah have the final say, which was in perfect accord with Abraham's comment, if she comes, if she refuses to come, you're released from the oath. And so she was given the opportunity. And Rebekah had no reservation whatsoever. She said, I will go. And so they set off with the blessing of Rebekah's family and with her nurse. As with the journey to Nahor, the passage is silent about the return journey. That is, until they came within sight of Beer Lahairoi. And there that evening, Isaac was out walking and meditating. And as he did so, he looked up and he saw the approaching caravan. Isaac immediately headed to meet them. And Rebekah, discovering that it was Isaac, took her veil and covered herself. Custom dictated that a bride should be veiled until the marriage took place in those days. And the servant then told Isaac all that he had done. And Isaac and Rebekah became husband and wife. And he loved her. Nice to end with a happy ending, isn't it? But as I got to the end of that chapter, another familiar and much loved verse of scripture seemed to sum up the whole story, especially the part played by Abraham's servant. The words of 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Those who honour me, I will honour. And may that be true of us, for the glory of the Lord. Amen.